Good afternoon here in Amsterdam. Are you sure you're in the right session? Because this is cloud-free, you know? There's no cloud in it. That's just basic old-school stuff, like command line and so. No, it's... Nah. And there's no phone also included. But the basic is with Windows Azure, which is a great thing, yeah? But the problems when you put your DC out in Azure are still the same. But your machine is miles away, so... be prepared. Okay, welcome to the session, How to Undestroy Your Active Directory. My name is Ralf Wiegand, as you might see on this screen. And as you might see, this screen is a little bit shifting. So the good news is you're not drunken. The bad news is it's a construction of the hall that is, well, hopefully strong enough for this session. And I'll be out later. So, okay. What are we going to do today? We have an Active Directory with the Windows Server 2008 R2, so the old stuff. Yeah, it's not the Windows 2012, which is a great product, by the way. But most of the problems still are the same. This 2008 R2 demos that I have five demos for a lot of errors in here. And most of the errors are the same in 2012. There's one or two differences I'll tell you later. And what we also have is we have a standard edition of Windows Server 2008 R2. It's not the core edition. This is just for demo purpose, so you have a GUI where you might feel at home. I will show you all the solutions in the GUI, and also we'll go on the command line and solve them on the command line. This session is recorded, so every demo that you see, you can see in the recordings on channel 9 or so. If you don't want to load it from there, I put all the demos, recorded all the demos, and you might find them on various platforms. If you look at TEE12, and the session number is SIA402, I think. So you find them there too. Okay. Well, one word for me. Those who do not know me, I'm German MVP for directory services for, 7 years now. MVP for 7 years of a directory services since 2007. I did some things as speaker, author, consultant, system engineer, and currently I'm working for a Technidata IT service, which is in Karlsruhe in Germany, so excuse my accent. Karlsruhe, for those who do not know this, is somewhere between Heidelberg and the Black Forest. That's the two main points that U.S. Americans know about Germany. So, where the cuckoo clocks come from, you know. Okay, now for me, I put my business cards up here, so if you have any questions later, you'll find maybe we should cheer up a little bit so the guy on the next hall knows that we already started. And for your convenience, you know this, that there's a sport here with the delegates to make them raise their hands. So on Friday, they have those big arms here for raising their hands. So can we just make a check? Everybody who can lift his right hand, please lift your right hand. Okay. Always wanted to see that. Thank you. So, before we begin, give me a word of warning. This slide is mainly for the next consultant that comes up to you, to your office, and tries to fix a problem. Yeah? Don't tell him that you saw one that fixed it all in 75 minutes. Yeah? It may take longer on your environment. Yeah? I put all those errors in here so I know what to do. And I have a demo script, so I know which step to take next. But maybe we can find all the steps together. And really, it might take longer. And one thing I really want to make sure here is that you take home with you is check your results and then recheck your results. Always check them from two sides or take some time in between two checks. But you have to recheck your system. This is an active directory, not a passive directory. So... I have a documentation from you, which is surprisingly enough. Yeah? I never came to a company who had a complete documentation. They were either outdated or not there at all. Yeah? And by the way, I don't need a documentation. All I need is a coffee. And that's true for every consultant, by the way. Yeah? So if you're a consultant, don't give him a documentation, give him a coffee. The complete documentation that I have here, just that you know what we are dealing here, is built with a universal documentation tool called Excel. And we have, as you see, two domain controllers and three subdomain controllers. And, well, easily enough, those IP addresses, you see, we have two DNS servers. And that's just for you that you got an overview of what I have on my demo machine. We'll check this. We don't trust this documentation, of course. Every demo that I make and every thing that we are discussing is a real-life example, and I put it in only things that came up more than 5 or 10 times over my desk, so this is nothing that I constructed. These are real-life examples. So there are some guys who are still looking for a place, if you might let them in, so... Okay, thank you. So, for the start of it, because we only have 68 minutes left, we're going in and, let me see, here we are. Okay, so this is the demo environment. There's a DC1, DC2, there's a sub DC1, 2, 3. Please don't look at the memory, because, okay, so. This is not the recommended setup, you know. So, let's start with the DC1, for example. As you see, this is a standard edition, well, let's see what we have here. First check is for the network. You see, we have, oh, I wonder if you can see this, or not. Here we go, oh, fine. So we have an IP address here, we have a DNS server here, and we have a name here. So everything looks good. So we are going to ask the DNS server. No. So. That's bad. So when they record all my demos, they also record all my typos. That's not good. Okay, we'll see. So, first thing is we are checking for the service record. Toso.com. Everything okay? Fine. Here we go. You know about dynamic DNS records and stuff like that, you see? Two DCs registered there, so it's okay. We do the same for the subdomain. And that's why I don't need a documentation. You see, it's all in there. Just ask the DNS or open the management console, go to Active Directory Users and Computers, and you find it out all for yourself. So, and here we have our first problem. You see, we have a sub-DC1. I go in a little bit. Well, here we go. We have a sub-DC1. We have a sub-DC2. But unfortunately, we don't have a sub-DC3. But, well, sub-DC2 seems to be twice here. So something is wrong in DNS. We don't have a sub-DC3. Just remember, the left side is remembering sub-DC3 is missing, and the right side is remembering that we have two records for one server. Okay? Sorry? It was the two for... No? Okay, good. If you can manage this up to the last, I have a USB stick here for you, if you can. Okay. So, now let's go in the graphic. DNS stuff, here we have the DC1, we have a forward lookup zone for Contoso, for the subdomain. Let's have a look what's wrong there. There's a sub-DC3, yeah, but it's only an alias, you see? And we have two sub-DC2s, two different IP addresses. So what happened here? This is really a common problem, as funny as it might look. Because if you recycle a server and it had another name, and you make it as a DC, it keeps its old name. So this old name might not fit in your name schema. So what some of the admins do is not make it all reverse, like a DC promo down, rename the computer, make a DC promo up again, or even rename it while it's a DC, which is not a daily task. It is possible, depending on your functional level, but it is not a daily task. So what they do is just they simply put a CNAME, an alias for this machine, which works, because DC3 is absolutely pingable. You see, I can ping. Sub-DC3, sub-contoso.com. Oops. Nope, I cannot. Why not? Okay, I cannot. What is this? Ah, because the real name is Mars Sub DC. Sub Contoso Com. Okay, so this has consequences if you have an alias here, because all the service principal names that are registered will be registered for the real name, not for the C name. So you find only Mars and not Sub DC 3. And there's another problem if you look at the replication stuff. Then going on sites and services, go on main servers. You see, we have this sub DC1 and it's replicating with Mars. That's okay. And we have the Mars, which is replicating with sub DC1 and sub DC2. So everything looks fine. But at the moment when I try to replicate here, it says Mars is unavailable. The other way around, yeah, sub DC1 with Mars, it's not a problem. And even if we look at Mars, which is sub DC3, we see that replication is fine. So just to make sure you understand this, there is this DC sub DC1 or sub DC2, and they are able to find each other. But they do not find a sub-DC3, because there is no sub-DC3 at all. There are not even service records registered for this sub-DC3 or Mars or whatever it is. Yeah? The other way around, Mars, which is sub-DC3, yeah, finds all the necessary DNS records for sub-DC1 and sub-DC2, and therefore he can replicate. Yeah? So that's what I mean with double check. The fact that it's going okay from one side does not mean that it's okay from the other side. Do you know rap admin, show rapper? You know, for those who not, there are quite a few more. You can say that's a replicate, and stuff like that. And you need to know which one, which DC with which DC, and stuff. You can even make a show rapper. Here we are, and that's something you might not know. There's a CSV slash CSV at the end, so you can easily import it in your Excel sheet and stuff like that. You can even make it verbose, so you get a little more information about what happened, on which invocation ID, is it writable or not, and stuff like that. Okay, but at the end of the line, replication seems to be corrupted in some way. So, how do we do this? Let's see, we go on the network, let's change adapter settings, properties, take some time here, properties, and after a few clicks, you see what's wrong with this machine. You see it? Okay. It's, register this connection's address in DNS. That means this DC does not update any service records in the DNS. And that's the reason why sub-DC1 and sub-DC2 does not find this DC. There's no service record for it. So we can do this here, but I promise you we make it on the command line. There's this good old NET interface IP version 4 set DNS servers. Name is, the interface is demo, and it's static. This is the name server, and register is primary. Nope. Where is it? Net interface set DNS server name static. Ah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Register. Take some time. Okay. So we are, let's see. Nope. Okay. Need to close it. Open it again. Properties. And you see it's should be there. By the way, did I tell you that 5 out of 10 times something with those demos goes wrong? Okay. So, here is it. So, now this this server will hopefully record all its service records in the DNS. Do you know which service is responsible for registering the DNS entries? No, it's not the NetLogger. No? DHCP, that was correct. What? Great. Because there are a lot of administrators who go through a list of services and disable all those services that are not necessary. And as long as you have static IP addresses, the idea may come that you don't need a DHCP client service running on a machine. So that's the reason why a lot of things fail. Let me see what they made here. So maybe we found another bug here. Oops, not under. May look under services if you're looking for a service. So there's the DHCP client, and of course, as you see, it's disabled. And for those who are able to read, there's a hint in the description saying, and updates IP addresses. Oh, this was wrong. Yep. So it's necessary to keep this service up and running. Otherwise, you can wait for days, weeks, and months. There will be no registration of your DNS records. Anyway, so how to start then? SC, service control, config, DHCP, start is auto. I was ever asking Microsoft who did the parser of this command line. Yeah. Because there's an equal sign, and then there's a space, and then comes auto. Remember the space. Yeah? It took me half an hour to find out what was wrong. Okay, you have to put in this one. Okay, so start DHCP, start pending. Okay, now it's up and running. You might use register DNS to do all this registration stuff, which takes some time, and it will now update, will use the service and update all the DNS records there. By the way, we got this before, ZSPN, that was the other group with the wrong, missing service principal, missing name. Other way around, this one. You see, there are a lot of service principal names. You know what a service principal name is for? Well, basically, it's for Kerberos. Yeah. That is enough, okay? You need it for Kerberos. It's all there for Mars. Yeah? But it's, as you might expect, it's not there for SubDC3. So that comes to an effect when you try to log on or try to access resources on SubDC3. Your client is looking for a Kerberos ticket, for a service ticket to access a service on SubDC3, which a DC cannot provide because it doesn't know about SubDC3. So you won't get a Kerberos ticket for accessing this SubDC3. You can access Mars with a Kerberos ticket, no problem. You can even set the service principal names for SubDC3 by hand. You know, you just look what Mars has and make the same for SubDC3. But those service principal names are updated when you install a new service, like a global catalog or a SQL server or whatever, a web server on this machine, which is, by the way, not a good idea because this is a DC and you should not install a web server on it. Okay? I said this. Those service principal names are changing, so it's not a good idea to put them in by hand. The better solution is to take the machine out, rename it, make it DC Promo again, so you have a constant name schema, or you can live with Mars. If you can live with Mars, it's much easier. So making things a little bit faster. See you later, guys. Okay, so we have another thing. Which group was it with the two names? It was this one, yeah? Okay. You still remember what was wrong there? We had two names, two A records in the DNS for the same machine. So this is not a good idea, but it's always, it's called a multi-home DC. And this happens when you have, you want to give users outside of your domain access to a domain controller. So sometimes guys put a DC in the perimeter network or demilitarized zone, DMZ. And give them two interfaces, one to the internal network and one to the outside. So users can access from the outside the DC, maybe there's a firewall or something else there, and may access it from the inside. So your server, your DC, is registering his service records under one of those IP addresses. If your client tries to connect the DC, it makes a DNS lookup. So if you're lucky and you configured everything correct, I might get the internal IP address. So you can access the DC and you can live with it. If you did something wrong, you get the outside IP address back from DNS, and your client is trying to reach your DC from the outside, which is hopefully against your firewall policy. So something went wrong there. The client cannot access sometimes any resources. You don't get tickets. Replication might be broken if a DC, another DC has the same problem. So, and you have a problem with the round robin because you get wrong IP addresses back and stuff like that. So basically, it's not a good idea to put a DC with two interfaces. Yeah? If you need something like access from the outside, you might use ADLDS, put an LDS server in your DM set and use a proxy user for authentication and stuff like that. Or you even have something like a federation with other things. You get a lot of other issues to look after if you make a federation services. By the way, there's a good session from John Craddock, I think it's on Thursday afternoon, troubleshooting ADFS. So if you don't have enough from troubleshooting AD, you might go to troubleshooting ADFS. Okay, so we have two interfaces here, hopefully. Otherwise, my demo is... yeah. We have change and update. Demo and demo two. And we are going to disable one of those. Well, right-click and disable would be easy, but we still have this net interface set interface demo 2 admin is disabled. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Refresh. Disabled. Ah, fine. So, and now you have to reconfigure. You have to flush your DNS server, which is ipconfig. Flush DNS. I mean, you have to flush your local DNS cache. And you have to re-register your DNS. We haven't already had this, but for the sake of this demo, I just reboot the machine, which is much faster.
We had a customer that had exactly the same problem, but because due to a backup net. But one thing that the IP administrators thought they could do is by eliminating the registered DNS, but on a multi-home DC domain controller, even if you do that, it'll still register both.
It will still register. The question was how to fix that. Basically, as I said, it's not a good idea to give a DC two interface cards. Yeah, it might work with that solution, and as you see when disabling, there are two states where you can disable the NIC. You have to use this admin disable switch, so when booting up again, it won't register again with the second NIC. Yeah? Sorry? Okay, you can also bind the DNS server to the right network card. And as I said, if you know what you're doing and you configure it correct and make your routing okay, routing okay. Sorry, non-native speakers. You see, and even British and Americans have problems with route and route. Yeah. So if you know what you're doing, you can do it. Yeah? I would prefer another solution. Yeah? Okay. Because I had a lot of trouble with that. So we're at the end of demo one. And if I find the switch, we can go back to the slide just for a quick summary. Which errors did we find? There was this missing dynamic DNS registration on sub-DC3. So just that you remember when you're on your way home, you can only see this if you make a double check, if you see it from one DC to the other and vice versa, the other way back, because replication status might be different depending on which name server and which service records are registered. Okay. Okay, the second one was service DHCP client was disabled, which is responsible for the dynamic DNS updates, and even if you have a static IP address, you might disable the DHCP service. That's something. Or if you're very, very good, you're using this this tool like the Security Configuration Wizard. You ever heard of that? SCW Security Configuration Wizard. It comes with Windows since I think 2003 or so. And it's very easy. You just double click, make next, 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 next. It analyzes your system and says you might disable this one and this one and that one. And you should not disable this and this and this. And on the very last page, you can decide do it or not. Yeah? So it just gives you an information. And what else you can do is you can save this as a baseline, go to your next DC and say, now check it against this one. And it gives you reporting that this service is enabled, this is disabled, that is not okay, and stuff like that. So it's a security configuration wizard. We did even more errors found. SubDC3 was not the real name of the server, it's only as a CNAME. So Kerberos does not work as expected. That's what the baseline is. If you're running it in a domain, you might not see the effects directly, because Active Directory falls back from Kerberos to NTLM version 2 authentication if it's missing a service principal name. So the effects might not be directly visible, but it's there. If you have a look at your Kerberos ticket list, you see you won't get a ticket for SubDC3. You only get a ticket for Mars. And we have this multi-home SubDC2 with the wrong DNS registrations, maybe. And here, again, use LDAP proxy, AD, LDS, stuff like that. Okay. You still with me? Fine. Okay, so we go in back again. You see, there was this young lady named Leah, and which is my daughter, actually. And she said, there is a folder on the SubDC1 I cannot access. I don't know what happened. I cannot access it. I had some files there. I was in there before. But since a few days, I cannot access it anymore. So we go to SubDC1. Put him in here. There's a lot of machines here. You're confusing me. The folder name is test, and okay, access is denied. Well, I'm the administrator, so, well, maybe administrator is blocked. So let's see what the ACLs are. GNS command, chuckles, CRCLS. If you make that on a normal directory, you got information about the administrator, built-in administrator, and stuff like that. But if you make it on this one, test, doesn't get any information back, which is strange. Huh? Now let's have a look what Leah is. What's that? What kind of user? There's something interesting on this user. So we go in our Active Directory. We go in users. In Finder, now she's here, okay. Obviously, it looks okay. Account unlocked. She's member of the domain users, and she's member of group 1, U_group1. So I wonder what that group is. Okay, it's a security group. It's a universal group. And, well, that's all okay. There are a lot of guys in there. And, do you have any idea what might be wrong here? Global catalog, was it? That's quite good. So the membership of universal groups is stored in the global catalog, not in a DC, but in a global catalog, which is running on any DC, okay, but basically it's in the global catalog. So this global catalog has to be accessible to check group membership. So maybe this is our problem. So which global catalogs do we have? Do you have an idea how to find it out? I ever wanted to make a session on finding 10 ways to find your global catalog or finding 10 ways for your DC and stuff like that. Well, there are a lot of ways. I'll just show you two. One is you just go in the, where is it? I'm blind here. Yeah. There's only one registered, or you go in this, here we are, do you see, in the DNS. So every global catalog registers in the DNS with this LDAP service records. And as you see, we only have one global catalog. So let's check if we have a connection to DC1. Universal Firewall Testing Tool. Oh, we don't have. Okay, so this is the reason why this user has no access to this directory. Because there is a rule for this universal group, and the user cannot be checked against the global catalog if it's a member of the universal group, so access is denied. Okay, for controls.com. Yeah. Since I know that it will record it, and okay, so we can't get through. This is normally the time where you pick up the phone and call your network team. Yeah, and for this demo, I was tricking a little bit. I just make this firewall rule, which blocks all traffic coming from sub DC1. So now we should be able to ping back. Okay. So now we have this. This will not solve our problem because the membership of this user is in his Kerberos tickets and it was validated while he was logging in and stuff like that. So the better thing is just to reboot this machine again. Yeah. While we're doing this, do you have an idea? Was something else with the global catalog? You remember? Something you should take care about. You remember? Where to put your global catalog? It's one of the standard questions, so it should be in the FAQ on number one. Where to put your global catalog? There's something with these FISMO roles. You don't put it on infrastructure master. Yes, the infrastructure was the one, yes. This is the moment where those guys always tell me, aha, that's a fake. You cannot enable a global catalog on an infrastructure server, infrastructure master, and that's right. If you go into sites and services, make a right-click and say you're a global catalog, there comes up a box and saying, oh, this is the infrastructure master, don't do it. Right. When you have a situation where all your domain controllers are global catalogs, that's okay, because when all your domain controllers are global catalogs, one of those domain controllers has to be the infrastructure master. So global catalogs running on an infrastructure master. As I said, it's okay as long as all your DCs are global catalogs. Now, if you take off one DC and say you're no longer a global catalog, you know, that's okay. There's no check saying you, now you have a situation where global catalogs on your infrastructure master and you should not do this. Yeah? There's no warning like that. And that's the way it happens all the time. Yeah? You just take a global catalog role from one of your DCs away and you end up with a situation where not all of your domain controllers are global catalog. And that's a situation where you never put a global catalog on an infrastructure master. It's only in a multiple domain. If you have a single domain, that's not what we have, a multiple domain here. That's why I have the sub-domain, you see? Otherwise, wouldn't able to show that. Okay, so we have this situation, maybe. We know that we have a global catalog on the DC1. That's why we are looking what the infrastructure master, or where the infrastructure master is running on. That's another tests, how many ways do you find to determine where the operation masters are running on? This is one way. Here we have it, DC1 Contoso.com. We already checked that we only have one global catalog which is running on DC1, and DC1 is the infrastructure master, so we have a situation we have to get rid of. Well, we do this here by just making the DC2. A global catalog. Boom. Okay. Do you know any other ways how to find out the FISMOs? Yeah? Entity as util. I prefer this DC diag. Now there comes this great knows of role holders. That's great, huh? Knows of role holders. That's one of my very favorite shortcuts. And here we have it. Let me see if I can zoom in here a little bit for you. There you see, infrastructure, update owner, DC1. Okay. Fine. This global catalog on the DC2 will now be filled with data, and as long as it's filled with data, it is not announcing himself as a global catalog. There's no DNS registration at all. So we might check that this DC2 gets all the updates that it needs. So let's check on DC1 the replication. And that looks a little bit bad. And especially here in this area. And well, the guys in the front rows already see it. It seems you have another problem here with between DC1 and DC2, and it says there is a time or date difference between clients and servers. So we have to look at this. But first, not to make it too much, I'll switch back to the slides and make a short summary on those errors that we already have. No? Oh, where are my slides? Help me. I don't have any slides here. PowerPoint 1. Nope. My slides are gone. Can it? Help me. Oh, this is one of the errors I did not build in. Okay, meanwhile, maybe we can have a look at this time sync problem. Do you imagine what that could be? As long as the guys... I hope that someone in the back already checks for my slides are gone. Maybe it's just a... No, it's... Ah, okay. I'm back here. Okay. Okay. Wonder what that was. So which errors did we find? Just to wrap it up, global catalog was not available. Need a global catalog for universal group membership. Fixed it. Thank you. If all my demos would run so smooth, that would be fine. Okay, and here for your convenience, global catalog on infrastructure master. Very simple. It's okay when all DCs are global catalogs. If not, infrastructure master must not be on a global catalog. And as you said, as you clarified, it's in a single domain. Doesn't make sense. So now go back. Okay. Everything seems okay. So we have this time problem. Why is this a problem? Those machines are not running in sync. Why is it a problem? Kerberos, of course, Kerberos. Kerberos and DNS is the answer to every problem you have in your Active Directory. unfortunately, you don't have an Active Directory without those tools. Kerberos says that the maximum difference of time between the client and the server should be 5 minutes, which is a setting in the GPO, in the group policy, which you can set to anything else if you want, but 5 minutes is common sense and it's okay. Normally. In the classic world where you had hardware and machines standing there where you can touch and not machines that are running on Azure somewhere, so this wasn't quite a problem. Of course, those clocks are ticking quite okay, and might you synchronize them with an external NTP server or with each other. But when you're running on a virtualized environment, you get a second or a third time source, which is the host your machine is running on. And the default settings for most of the virtualization environments is synchronize your clock with your host. If you change that to, say, synchronize with the other DC, with your first DC, or synchronize with another NTP service, you don't get this time shifting problem. If you do not, you might get a problem where your machine, where your time is differing for a few minutes. Now let's see if we go on the sub-DC2 and check the time. It's 26, it's 6, or so it's 20 days back. Okay, so we should fix that.
very easy things. Okay, magically, we are here again. Okay, replication should come up again. So let's replicate. Put it on. Okay, now see if we, it's already fun. Already done. Rep admin show wrapper. Okay, so some configuration, the configuration partition is already replicating. Yep. And the rest will follow. So we wait just a little bit and we see that all the time difference things well went away. We can even enforce it, repadmin replicate DC1, DC2. What's this? This is Contoso. This is com. Or you write a script, will replicate all your partitions. So please go home, back, and check this. If you see DC2, there is this settings. I'm sorry, this is the German, but you see this is time synchronization, which I took out here, which I disabled here, so I enable it again. And now see if we are through. And that looks much better, huh? Okay. So replication is up and running again. And so far, so good. So where else can we look for some trouble in our Active Directory? Well, there's a hidden tool, yes? At least it seems to me it's a hidden tool, which is given only from Microsoft to MVPs and from MVP to MVP. And I'm not quite sure if it's under NDA or not. But anyways, I will show you because most of you might never have used it. It's surprisingly, it's under a computer management system tool, and it's called the Event Viewer. Yeah. Because every time when I ask one, what's in the event logs, I check this. Okay, so do it first, then you will find. So where to look? Maybe at the Windows or the system log. Maybe we find something. And surprise, surprise, there is something. It's that the processing of group policy failed. Windows, can you read that from the back? Okay. It says Windows attempt to read the file, blah, 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 6AC. Not this one. This file here. But could not find this file. So this is one of the two standard group policy objects, which comes with your server, which is under your Windows. Is it? All the way down. This one. By the way, this is one of the errors that I did not put in my demo because it only happened once. But it's the right moment to tell you about this. There was this user calling, said I'd made this DC promo and installed everything and looked and corrected some problems which occurred with this, you know, the SIP problem. Yeah, if you extract a folder, if you extract a SIP file, and the folder is in the zip file, and you extract the zip file to a folder, it will create a folder with the same name and then puts all the files in there. And something happened while I was doing a DC promo, because there was a syswall folder, and there was a syswall folder in it. So I took all the files from the syswall folder and moved it up one, so corrected this problem. And, well, actually, you had to put in the CD and make setup exe again. Because all the rest is gone. Never do anything with this directory structure under syswall, please. So there was a 6AC. Here should be something, as you see on the other policy. This GPT INI, which is not there. So someone deleted the default domain policy, and it's not there anymore. This is not very tragic. There's a fix for it. It's called, I have to look always all the time. Is it DC fix GPO? No, it's DC GPO fix. The funny thing is that it seems to happen so often that there's a command for it to fix it. You see? Now, if you press enter, we'll ask, will you continue? Yes. I never read anything that they tell you, so just say yes. No. So, and you have now a fresh, clean, new default domain policy and a default domain controller policy. And if you're one of those guys who read before you press the yes, you might read that all your settings might have been gone, all your password policy might have gone, everything that's in the default domain policy and the default domain controller policy is gone. It's set back to standard, you might enable this again, whatever you did there. So my advice for you is do not change the default domain policy and the default domain controller policy. As long as it's possible to make it in another group policy, make it in another group policy. Some things you have to do there, password policy in older times, when you did not have those final password policies, you have a Windows Server 2008 or 2. But whatever you can, put in an extra GPO, make it an extra GPO so you can use this tool once you deleted your file. Okay, but I think we did it on the wrong machine, huh? Nobody told me. So we do it here again. Yes, still not reading anything. Sometimes here comes an error when you use this tool. Just ignore it, run it again, and it will run through. I don't know where it comes from, really. Well, okay. Before we go back to our slides, I have to prepare the next demos. So we are through with that. So goodbye. 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 And start this up, please. And this up. Okay. Good. Remember, we have this time difference, you know, so keep your machines in date. I won't give you an advice what to do, how to sync your time. There might be circumstances where you choose one solution or the other one. Yeah. By the way, did we? Yes, we did. No, we did not. The time service? No, we did not. So, oops, I forgot. Oh, no. You see that in the demo later. You have to make sure that the time service is running. It's W32 time, which is a service that's responsible for synchronizing your time. You might choose to synchronize with your local host, which is personally said not a good idea. You might choose to use the standard Windows synchronization, time synchronization with the DC or the PDC of your domains. Or you might use an external NTP server and put it in on every machine, on every DC and every client. As long as you keep your machines in sync, it's all okay. If not, you will find it on replication issues or on login problems with users. Restore default policies. Use DC GPO fix. If you don't know the order, is it DC fix GPO, DC GPO fix, or something like that? There are only 6 possibilities to change that. And as a rule of thumb, never modify the default domain policy or the default domain controller policy as long as it's possible. Okay. So we have 25 minutes left for the last 2 errors. That's fine, and that's time that we need. Because this is going to be a little bit more complicated. Now let's make some clean up here while you are staring at the wrong screen, I know. I take this one and I take this one. Okay, going back here. I have new machines, which is just to make it easier and to make it more it's better understandable. It's just 2 domain controllers in the Contoso domain, which is called LDC1 and LDC2. Nothing else. And we have users that are complaining that they can sometimes log in and sometimes not. This is one of the moments where your administrator says, cannot be. Well, you can log in or you cannot log in, but not sometimes log in. See? But it turns out to be true, because you saw it. And you saw this user is Peter, for example, or Paul, and say, oh, well, I know you cannot log in because Peter, you attended last year's TechEd. I remember that. And all the accounts are gone. I deleted all the accounts from the last TechEd. And as you see here, this is TE 2010, which is empty. So you're not, well, you cannot log in, not even sometimes. But if you have a look at the other DC, because I told you, always double check. And if it opens sometime in the future, okay. We have this TE, oh, we have two consoles now, okay. Oh, yeah. And we have those, Peter, Paul, and Mary. The older one in the room will remember those names, Peter, Paul, and Mary, okay. For the younger ones, I'll explain it later. So you might say, okay, it's very easy, they are not replicating. Yeah? But of course, you're a good administrator and you always check your replication state. They're all replicating successfully. And even if I do it from the other side or using this, this command to check the other DC, both DCs are replicating correct. There's no error, nothing, all successful, but I have three users on one machine, on one DC that are there. They're fully functional, they're enabled, they can log in, they have passwords, they have everything. I have on the other DC, I have a completely empty organizational unit. You know it? Sorry, louder. So, let me see. Oh, you might find a trick. No. This one here is DC2. With the. I did. You see? I said, give me the replication state of LDC2. I can make it here. And you see the same result. Now, what we have here are called lingering objects. Yeah, I heard it from somewhere here. Fine. Lingering objects is a funny name, and it describes perfectly what's happening here. If you delete an object in your Active Directory, I have to come around down a little bit here because it takes some time. And this lights are really hurting my eyes. If you replicate objects, it's very easy because you say, here's an object, I changed something, go and grab the attributes. But if you delete an object, yeah, you cannot say, I deleted an object, go and get it, go and get the changes, because the object is no longer here. Yeah? So it's a problem to replicate deleted object. So what's done in every directory service, you name it, so in Active Directory too, is you don't really delete an object, but you flag it. You just say, this object is deleted. Yeah? You take away all the attributes. We don't talk about recycle bin. It only makes it more complicated and more longer, but the effect is the same at the end. You take away all the stuff, all the attributes that you're no longer interested in. You put a flag on it saying, you are deleted. And you put a tombstone lifetime on, and put a tombstone time on it. And there is something in your Active Directory, in your configuration partition, which is valid through your complete forest. That's the tombstone lifetime. And the tombstone lifetime is something between 60 and 180 days. It depends on where you come from. In Windows 2000, all those years ago, it was 60 days. In Windows Server 2003, R2, it's 180 days, but it depends on how you created your DC. 60, 180 days. So, let's say after 180 days, every DC has a service called the garbage collector that runs through, looks for deleted objects, compares the tombstone time of this object with the tombstone lifetime in your Active Directory. And if it's longer than the tombstone lifetime, it's thrown away without any further notice. Yeah? It's a very clever trick to replicate deleted objects. Yeah, you flag it, you are deleted. This will be replicated through all your DCs. And 180 days later, each of those DCs looking, oh, get away. That's it. And this works perfect as long as this information of is deleted is replicated on all your DCs. That means if you have DC that is not replicating for more than 180 days, you will never know that this object had a flag on it, and will never know of this object because it's already gone on the DC. It will still have this object, it still know about Peter, Paul, and Mary, and is really is fully convinced that this object still exists, and none of the other DCs knows anything about Peter, Paul, and Mary because they are deleted and they are gone, no traces left. And that's a lingering object. So you have this when you have DCs that are not replicating for a long period of time. This is something that is well known in Active Directory, and therefore there's a check. So if your DC comes back again, and the other DCs want to replicate, and say, this DC was longer than 180 days offline, I won't replicate with that DC. Stop. It's stopping inbound, outbound replication, depends. And will not replicate. But there's a trick, you can enable it again. It's called the allow replication with duplicate and corrupt partners. That's the registry name of the registry key you have to type in, allow replication with duplicate and corrupt partners. Yeah? Or you go in and make a repadmin strict, repadmin allow allow duplicate. That's the thing. Okay, that's what I did here. That's what, I won't say lousy administrators, but what administrators sometimes do to re-enable their replication. Because sometimes you have a DC which is on your branch office, which was overseen and did not replicate for this long time. And if you want to enable it, you got this error, you can enable this replication and it will start again replicating with the rest. It will not replicate Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary are still not existent on DC1. They still exist on DC2. There's another setting with your Active Directory, and it's mixed up most of the times, and that's called strict replication. Strict replication and divergent replication are two different things. Divergent replication, allow replication of divergent and corrupt partners. When I access this Peter, Paul, and Mary object there and change something, DC2 will inform DC1 that there's a change on this object. Then DC1 says, I make this change, but I don't know the object at all. Send me the object. And then DC2 sends the complete object. So Peter, Paul, or Mary comes back to life on DC1. There's a complete replication of this object and will live again. So as long as you enable loose replication. When you have strict replication enabled, this will not happen. Strict replication says, you sent me a change for an attribute of an object that I don't have, stop. Full stop, no replication, block it completely, you're out of my replication schedule, I won't talk to you anymore. That's strict replication. And that's something you should enable on your Active Directory. It is enabled, you should check this constantly, really do this. Otherwise, you get effects. If you have only two domain controllers, that's okay, you can find out, okay, Peter, Paul, Mary was deleted, that's okay, so I delete it there. And if you have more than two DCs, or you have multi-home, multi-domain, and you have global catalogs which replicate those objects too, you delete them on one server and they pop up on the other server and will replicate back again to the first server, and you've got a complete mess of users there. So strict replication is your friend. You know? Enable strict replication, and only if you really need, then allow a replication with divergent and corrupt partners. Yeah? But only then. Normally, both settings should be strict replication and do not replicate, which is the default, by the way. So it's good. If you ever have a problem with a DC that was running out of time, out of replication time, running out of tombstone lifetime, just take it out or refresh it, bring it back, make a DC promo back and forward, so it resynchronizes, and it's really the better way. There's another, yeah, sorry. I don't know how much time I have for the last demo, so I'll be there for you, for all of you, of course, outside. After the session, you find me in the Technical Learning Center at the Windows Security and Directory booth, and I'll be there all evening, tomorrow, and Thursday, and Friday, and even on my way back home in the train, if you ask me. I'll be there for you, and you have my email address. Give me the 40 minutes. If I have time, I come back to you. Okay, so you can, of course, set the tombstone lifetime. Yeah? It's a setting in your configuration. So you might look at the configuration, at services, at Windows NT, directory services. So it's there where you expected it. Yeah? And you see there's the tombstone lifetime, which is here 99 days, because I didn't have the time to wait 180 days, so I set it down to 2 days to create that demo, and I set it back up to to 99 days. If there is a not set in your environment, it's 60 days, which is the default. If you have 180, you have something like Windows Server 2003, R2, or higher, then it should be 180. You can basically put any number in there. But 180 days is something that's a mixture between, well, I might need those stuff again, and I don't want to keep those deleted objects too long because your database is growing and growing and growing. Well, there was a discussion. I know that it will not shrink if you put away the deleted objects, of course, but it will give the space free again for reuse it. So set it whatever you want. Choose a mixture between too long and your database is growing and too short and you might need the data again because you accidentally deleted it. But normally 180 days is fine. So 60 days might be, that's why they set it higher to 180 days. So how to get rid of those lingering objects? Well, as always, there's a command for it, and it's again in repadmin. So, and it's remove lingering objects. I wonder who made that. Not it's not an RLO or something. It's remove lingering objects. Okay. So then you have to say make this on this machine. So that machine is wrong. LDC2 has lingering object. That's the one you should enter here. And then you need a reference to a clean DC, which is the GUID, which you find here, of DC1. Oh, and then you save which partition. And now you can delete them, or you can make an advisory mode. An advisory mode just goes through, compares each and every object on LDC2 with the reference DC, and looks if it's there or not, and will detect will detect all lingering objects. And if you go back in this hidden secret tool, you know, the event viewer. Up here, even fewer, you find under applications, the directory, service, log file, hopefully, sometimes. And you will find an event ID of 1938 saying, okay, I start the check. Then we find 1946 events for each object. And then we find the 1942. See here, 1938, which says has begun the verification. 1946 says found one. I make this a little bit better view. Found Paul, found Peter, found Mary, and completed the verification and said I found 3 objects. So that's just to give you an idea what will be deleted, finally deleted, when you run the command without an advisory mode. And if you did this, you see there are still no users here. And if you go to the other side, on the other DC, other DC here, they're still here as long as you refresh the display and they're gone. So that's the way you remove lingering objects. Okay, so it's here for you, for rereading it, yeah? And if you have any questions for that, come later, because that's my very last demo. And we have 9 minutes for that. That was the demo that I didn't make the last time when I held the session, because it was running out of time. And it's called the USN rollback problem. You might have an idea what it is. You might have heard about it. It's something that came up in last years more and more, because it has to do with virtualization and snapshotting. Okay, I'll show you what we are doing. We are still in the same demo environment. I create some users here. Let's say 20 users from user 100 to user 102. DS add user CN is user E. Users. Hopefully, it will create 20 users. Or 21 users, okay, starting from 100 up to 120. So we see them here. User 100 to user 120. Make sure that they're on the other side, on the other DC too. User 100, user 120. So that's the moment when you realize, oops, I was wrong. I should have been user 200, and I should have created 30 users, and not only 20 users. So you can go and delete all those users, or you just made a snapshot of those thing. So you go back to this snapshot and reset one of the DCs to a snapshot. So if it's back again, we do the same thing again and saying 4%. I in 200, 130. So it's basically the same. So now we create another bunch of users, starting the console. And have a look what's here. No, it's here. Okay. So everything's fine. User 100. Oops. There's a user 100. Are we on LDC 2? Okay. So we change the domain controller to LDC 1. Going in here, users. User 200 and 201. Here something said, user DSAdd succeeded, user 215, we only have user 200 and 201, and if we go on the other DC, refresh this, we are on DC 2, okay. We have a lot of more users, 100, then we have those 200 to 230, so there's a great difference in between. So let's check what replication says. Oops. Okay. How REPL? No. Show REPL. But it still says it's here. This is all successful. But here we have currently rejecting replication requests. And here you see disable inbound replication, disable outbound replication. So something clearly went wrong here. And if you're lucky, really lucky, this will happen. Yeah? I can show you a demo where this will not happen, where 30 users will be on one machine and 20 users will be on the other machine. It depends on the time that you need to type in those command line. If you're fast enough, it will replicate 30 users, or will create 30 users, but will never replicate them. What happened here is quite easy. When one DC replicates with another DC, there is USN, which is update sequence number, USN. And it says, I have a change for you. And the other DC says, OK, so give me your changes. I've seen everything up to change number 500. So the other DC says, OK, 500, I created this one as 501, this as 502, this 503. So it sends three events to the other DC. And that's OK. The other DC remembers, I have seen everything up to 503. So in our case, DC 1 created 20 users, send it over to the other. So the other DC knows everything up to change, let's say, 520. So now I reset DC 1. So I create 30 users. And this DC says, hey, look, I have some changes. So then DC 2 comes and says, OK, I've seen everything up to 520. So send me everything higher than 520. So DC 1 starts to replicate, says, OK, 521, this user, 522, that user. And the first 20 users will not be replicated. What happened here is that those both DCs started to replicate before I created all the users. So the DC 2 was saying, I have seen everything up to 520. And DC 1 said, I'm not on 520, I'm on 580 or 510 or 500 or something like that. So you saw something from me that came not from me, obviously. You've seen changes that I didn't make so far. So let's stop this. But the damage was already done. You see, two users got replicated before they recognized that there is a problem with the USN. Which you think might think, well, it's not that problem, two users. But if we look closely at those users, use another tool, LDP, just it's just basically a plain LDAP viewer. And we are, for all those not trusting me, we are on LDC 1, as you can see here. If you can see it, yes, okay. You see user 200 and 201, now going on the other machine, same, LDP, connect, find us user 3 from the base DM, again, and see all those users here. I'll make that full screen for you. So now let's have a look at the user 200. And here on user 100. So, and if you compare the object SID of those two users, can you see it from the back? This is user 200. Last numbers are 1108. And this here is user 100, and it has the same object SID. So if you now still think, oh, well, it's fine, yeah? You're in the wrong session, you see? Okay, you might go and pick some marketing slides out there. what has happened? What happened? Exactly. They can access each other's resources now. If user 100 creates a file, user 200 can access the file because it's the owner. The SID is the same. Everything is handled over the SID. So basically every write that user 100 has, user 200 has too, and vice versa. So how did it happen? Well, every time you create a new object, 17 seconds left. I need 2 more minutes, guys in the back, okay? Every time you create an object, it gets a relative ID, and that's the last part here, the 1108. And the DC takes that from his read pool, out of his read pool. And when I make a snapshot back in time, The DC does not know that you already used this relative ID, so we reuse it again. But this object was already replicated on the other DC. So you have two objects with the same relative ID. You should get away of the read pool, and that's something that Windows Server 2012 has. It has this virtualization awareness. So every time you make a snapshot and you revert to a snapshot from under Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V version 3, and you go back in time, the DC will know that he got back in time, as long as the Windows Server 2012 DC. Well, no, they got back in time, will throw away all his read pool, get a new read pool. Before you can create any machine, any user or stuff, it will create a new read pool. It will stop replication, start over again, will replicate all your changes that you made, and it will be clean and fine, and everything is okay. But as long as you're using older technologies, never ever make a snapshot of a DC. Well, you can make a snapshot, of course, but never use it. You see? Okay. So, here is it again. How to solve? Well, it depends. That's a typical consultant answer. Yeah. The best way is to remove the DC. Never use snapshots for DC. Wait for Server 2012, which is aware of snapshots. So, that's all we found here. Hope you find this entertaining, but one word for the end. You should check your systems with the right tools, of course, Operation Manager, but Event Viewer is a good start. Rep Admin, flags, DC Diag, ZSPN. You should understand LDAP Kerberos DNS, of course. Get used to those tools, you know, while your system is okay. You can test yourself for failures in a test environment, please. Yeah. So with Hyper-V, it's very easy. You see it. I have it on my machine here on a small laptop. I have 5 domain controllers running. And never forget, it's called active or not passive directory. Yes, give it some time. Okay, related content. There are a few more sessions, especially one that's from a Polish MVP, Laura Jan Nosewicz. Please forgive me, Paula. It's very Polish name, so... might look for a Thursday morning, the 10 sins, security sins of an administrator, and one of them is documentation. And there are hands-on labs you might check, for, especially Windows Server 2012. Product demo station, come over, visit me. I'll be there Wednesday, Tuesday afternoon, or most of the time. Next week there's an MVP launch where you might find me too. Some more track resources. This session was recorded. You find it on Channel 9 up from tomorrow or in 2 days or so. And might download it and look at there. The slides are also there. And please fill out the evaluation. 2 weeks ago in Orlando, I only had 20% of the guys, or 15% filling out the evaluation form. I would really like to get your feedback on this session. The network is down, but you can give your evaluations tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no, Saturday, I don't think, but up to that. Please, make your evaluation, make it a good, please rate it fair and give me some feedback what to improve and what not. And enjoy the rest of the tech. Thank you for your attention.